Robinhood Radio presents Your Health with osteopathic physician Dr. Kim Tripp, a show presented monthly on Robinhood Radio, discussing the challenges faced and the solutions that are available for keeping vital health and well-being throughout our lives. And now, here's Dr. Tripp.
Hi there, everybody. Welcome to Your Health with Dr. Kim Tripp, osteopathic physician. This is the health show created to bring you vital information and discussion of all kinds of health issues on your mind and in your life from the unique perspective of traditional osteopathic medicine. And what we always do first is to clarify for our new listeners what osteopathic medicine means. Osteopathic medicine is practiced by fully licensed physicians in the United States with a DO degree, a Doctor of Osteopathic Medicine degree. Our practice is based on the essential relationship in all living things between structure and function. In other words, the natural interdependence between anatomy and physiology, or that between the physics of the body and its chemistry. As osteopathic physicians, we use our comprehensive and precisely detailed knowledge of anatomy and physiology to promote health and healing in our patients. We work gently with our hands to help your body restore optimal function based on optimal structure. Our medical specialty is therefore called osteopathic manual medicine. We receive uniquely in-depth training in anatomy and physiology and their relationship within your body in the context of a full physician's medical training. Only U.S.-trained osteopaths are fully licensed physicians and have all of the current medical pharmacopoeia, nutritional science, and full medical training at our disposal. This means that your individual treatment may include a wide range of approaches, but will always be founded on gentle, hands-on work. We practice from the unique perspective of first looking for the health in our patients rather than merely finding illness and disease. Our practice has been especially effective for, but is not limited to, musculoskeletal and other structural issues, as well as chronic headache, gastrointestinal problems, post-concussion syndrome, sleep disturbance, allergies, and many other health issues. We work together with you, the patient, to help you build health and vitality in your body, mind, and spirit as the solution for your health problems, rather than only treating the disease symptoms. So in the radio show, we tackle health issues from this point of view. What can we do to help you build your health and vitality in order to prevent and heal injuries and disease? And we do that by giving you some basic information about the problem to help you understand what is happening, as well as to offer solutions and guidance for helping yourself to heal and stay healthy based on our clinical experience with patients in our practice. Before we get started on today's topic, let me remind you that you can listen to all of our prior Your Health shows online at your convenience, like the back pain, nutrition, carpal tunnel, concussion, etc., by going to Robinhood Radio's website. Then click the on-demand button and scroll down all the way to the bottom and select Your Health shows. Then you can click on the individual show by topic. We love on-demand radio. You can listen whenever you have the time. All right, so today we're going to talk about tinnitus, which is sometimes called tinnitus. We've been on something of a theme over the last few shows, dealing with issues in and around the head, face, and neck, and we're going to continue with that today and address this common hearing issue. Tinnitus is a clinical diagnosis for ringing, hissing, or other white noise that we hear in our ears, even though there's no external source of the sound. Tinnitus symptoms include various types of phantom noises in your ears, can include ringing to buzzing to roaring to clicking to hissing or anything in between. The noise can vary in pitch from a low, dull roar to a high-pitched whine. You may hear it in one or both ears, and the apparent sound can be constant or somewhat changeable in pitch and volume, and it can even move from ear to ear. In some cases, the sound can be so loud that it can interfere with your ability to concentrate or to hear actual sound. Tinnitus may be present all the time or it might come and go as a function of stress, allergies, illness, inflammation, dehydration, positional changes, sleep deprivation, changes in circulation, task distraction, and numerous other factors, including that tinnitus and permanent hearing loss can be directly caused by certain medications, which we'll go over in more detail later. Tinnitus is quite common and is estimated to affect about 15% of the U.S. population, with only 2% of those affected ever seeking treatment. It can be fleeting and short-lived, or it can be a long-term chronic condition. It's often associated with age-related development of hearing loss. There are two basic categories of tinnitus. Subjective tinnitus is tinnitus only you can hear. This is by far the most common type. It can be caused by problems in your outer, middle, or inner ear. It can be caused by problems with the hearing auditory nerves, or the part of your brain that interprets those nerve signals as sound. It often develops as we age, or in response to a history of exposure to a great deal of loud noise or music, such as from working as a demolition construction worker, a soldier, or a sound engineer at concerts. The other type is called objective tinnitus, and that's tinnitus caused by a noise that is actually also audible to your doctor, who can hear it when he or she does an examination. This is a very rare type of tinnitus, and it may be caused by a blood vessel anomaly, an inner ear bone condition relating to the tiny inner ear bones themselves and how they move, or from muscle contractions in the head, jaw, or face. So let's spend a little time on the intricate anatomy of the ear so we can understand the source of tinnitus and how it might happen a little bit better. The anatomy and mechanism of the hearing system is one of the most sensitive and exquisitely precise of any in our body. The inner ear is a set of tiny, whorled, bony spaces in the petrous portion of the temporal bone. Remember, the temporal bone is on the side of the head and includes the temple area and the outer ear, which is called the pinna. But the temporal bone also projects deeper into the head, and this deeper portion houses the inner ear. The deeper portion is called the petrous portion. The inner ear is found at the end of the bony tunnel that runs from our external ear deep into that bone and behind the eardrum in that temporal bone. The hearing mechanism consists of an outer, middle, and inner ear arranged progressively deeper into the temporal bone. The outer visible ear is made up of whorls of flexible cartilage that funnel sound waves into our so-called ear canal through the external acoustic meatus, in other words, the holes in the sides of our heads. Meatus means opening. At the end of the ear canal is the tympanic membrane, our eardrum. The tympanic membrane separates the outer ear from the middle ear and translates the sound waves from the outer ear into motion of the three tiny bones called ossicles that sit in the middle ear. The three ossicles are arranged in such a way as to amplify the motion transmitted by the eardrum against the ossicles into motion of a smaller membrane called the oval window that vibrates against the fluid in the inner ear. The inner ear is made up of the cochlea, a spiral-shaped, membrane-covered collection of many, many tiny hair cells directly connected to auditory nerves and bathed in a fluid bath contained within that spiral cochlea. The vibrations of the oval window membrane create waves in the cochlear fluid bath passing over these hair cells. The specialized hair cells transform the motion perceived by the hairs into an electrical signal that the attached nerves can transmit to the brain through the auditory nerve. A fascinating, complex, and amazing mechanism that transforms sound waves into nerve signals and allows us to hear. What? I didn't get all that. Just give me the gist. Okay, well, here's the gist. Sound waves cause the eardrum to vibrate, which sets the three tiny bones in the middle ear into motion. The motion of these bones causes the fluid in the inner ear to vibrate. The vibration of the inner ear fluid causes the hair cells in the cochlea to move. The hair cells translate this movement into electrical nerve impulses. These electrical impulses are transmitted by the auditory nerve to the brain, where they are interpreted as sound. That's better, right? Also of note anatomically is the fact that the eustachian tube runs from the middle ear to the nose and throat. So there's a connection between the ear and the nose and throat. This connection can become a cause of tinnitus. The eustachian tube is a canal that connects the middle ear to the nasopharynx, which consists of the upper throat and the back of the nasal cavity. It controls the pressure within the middle ear, making it equal with the air pressure outside the body. Most of the time, the eustachian tube is closed, opening only during activities such as yawning, swallowing, and chewing to allow air through the passage between the middle ear and the nasopharynx. When atmospheric pressure changes rapidly, causing a sudden feeling of blockage in the ear, such as in an airplane, these activities can be done on purpose, like swallowing, to open the tube and equalize the pressure within the middle ear. When the eustachian tube will not open enough to equalize pressure, symptoms such as discomfort, dizziness, or ringing in the ear, i.e. tinnitus, may result. Conditions such as nasal congestion, infection of the ear or sinus, or allergies may cause these symptoms and lead to eustachian tube problems. So within this exquisite hearing mechanism, there are many things that could go amiss and lead to tinnitus from damage to or malpositioning of the delicate mechanism of the inner and middle ear. But the specific physiology of the phantom noises that we call tinnitus resulting from the damage is actually not well understood. One popular research hypothesis is that when the hair cells in the cochlea are damaged, some of the associated neurons partially lose the inhibitory regulation that keeps them from firing when no sound is present. As a result, these neurons send inappropriate and unnecessary signals that the brain perceives as persistent noise. Supporting this hypothesis is that many people who suffer from tinnitus perceive the ringing in their ears to be of the same or similar frequency to particular hearing deficits that they have. Any mechanical pressure or stress and strain on the temporal bone itself that shifts its normal range of motion and positioning in the head can also lead to inner ear and tinnitus problems. Other common causes of tinnitus include age-related hearing loss. For many people, hearing worsens with age, unfortunately, often starting around age 60. Hearing loss can cause tinnitus, and the medical term for this type of hearing loss is presbycusis. Exposure to loud noises, such as those from heavy equipment, chainsaws, and firearms, are common sources of noise-related hearing loss and tinnitus. Portable music devices, such as MP3 players or iPods, also can cause noise-related hearing loss if played loudly for long periods. Tinnitus caused by short-term exposure, such as attending a single loud concert, usually goes away. Long-term or repeated exposure to loud sound can cause permanent damage and chronic tinnitus. Earwax blockage is another potential cause. Earwax is normal and protects your ear canal by trapping dirt and slowing the growth of bacteria. But when too much wax accumulates, it becomes too hard to move out of the ear naturally and can cause hearing loss or irritation of the eardrum, which can lead to tinnitus. There is also a very uncommon condition that causes changes in the ear bones. Stiffening of the ossicle bones in the middle ear, called otosclerosis, may affect hearing and cause tinnitus. Some less common causes of tinnitus are Meniere's disease. Tinnitus can actually be an early indicator of Meniere's disease, an inner ear disorder that also includes vertigo and headache and can be caused by abnormal inner ear fluid pressure. Temporomandibular joint disorders can be another cause of tinnitus. Problems with the TMJ, the joint on each side of your head in front of your ears, where your lower jawbone meets your skull, can cause pressure all the way up through the temporal bone and can lead to tinnitus. Head injuries or neck trauma can affect the inner ear, affect the hearing nerves, or even the brain function linked to hearing. And acoustic neuroma, which is a non-cancerous benign tumor, can develop on the cranial nerve that runs from your brain to your inner ear and controls balance and hearing. This is also called vestibular schwannoma, and this can cause tinnitus usually only in one ear. In rare cases, tinnitus can also be caused by a blood vessel disorder. This type of tinnitus is called pulsatile tinnitus because the noise pulses with the pulsing of fluids in the affected blood vessels. And this blood vessel problem can be caused by head or neck tumors. Atherosclerosis with age and buildup of cholesterol in the vessels, high blood pressure, hypertension, and factors that increase blood pressure such as stress, alcohol, and caffeine can make tinnitus more noticeable. Turbulent blood flow, which can be caused by narrowing or kinking in a neck artery or vein in the neck, can cause turbulent, irregular blood flow leading to tinnitus. Malformation of the capillaries, which is a condition called arteriovenous malformation and causes abnormal connections between arteries and veins and can result in tinnitus, or temporal bone anatomic distortion or malposition that impacts the blood vessels themselves. It's important to know that a number of medications may cause or worsen tinnitus. Depending on the medication dosage, the tinnitus can be temporary or permanent. Generally, the higher the dose of these medications, the worse the tinnitus becomes. The tinnitus may disappear if you are able to stop using these drugs. More than 200 drugs are known to cause tinnitus when you start or stop taking them. Some of the medications known to cause or worsen tinnitus include some of the common non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, often called NSAIDs, such as Motrin, Advil, and Aleve, certain antibiotics like gentamicin and vancomycin, some loop diuretics like Lasix, salicylates like aspirin and related meds, quinine-containing drugs like those used for malaria, certain antidepressants, and some chemotherapy medications like carboplatin and cisplatin, all can cause tinnitus. Lastly, there are often basic head and neck musculoskeletal causes of tinnitus that often go undiagnosed and untreated. Recall that the temporal bone is the home of the ear and vestibular system. There's one each on the right and left sides of our heads. There are many head and neck muscles that attach to the temporal bone, which, if suddenly or chronically tightened, torn, strained, or set into spasm, can literally pull the temporal bone out of its normal, precise, and minute range of motion, and therefore pull one or both of the inner ears out of their normal position and range of motion. This kind of derangement of the temporal bone is one of the reasons why tinnitus can be the result of car accidents, falls, whiplash, or head injuries. Any strain or spasm of the neck muscles that connect to the skull can lead to derangement of the temporal bone and impact the hearing system and potentially cause tinnitus. Osteopathic treatment is an excellent, sustainable approach to help with tinnitus. To relieve muscle strain, spasm, or tension in the head, neck, or shoulders that may be creating pull on the temporal bones, alleviate inflammation, improve arterial circulation and venous and lymphatic drainage, restore full range of motion to the head and neck, including the delicate temporal bone, and heal and prevent the cause of the tinnitus because it addresses the root structural and anatomical causes that led to the development of the tinnitus in the first place. A good osteopathic physician who is a specialist in osteopathic manual medicine can therefore be especially helpful for tinnitus and certain other hearing problems. An osteopathic physician who is a specialist in osteopathic manual medicine knows how to work gently and in detail with the intricate and sensitive structures of your head, ears, neck, and shoulders, working with the bones, muscles, ligaments, tendons, and fascias to improve the range of motion of bones and muscles, including the delicate cranial bones, optimize circulation and lymphatic drainage, and help your body restore your head, ears, neck, and all the associated tissues to optimal structure and function with gentle use of our hands, thereby not only helping to relieve the tinnitus, but also help to prevent its recurrence. In addition to regular osteopathic treatment for your ears, head, neck, and shoulders, and upper back, here are some important tips for maintaining good head and ear health and avoiding tinnitus. 1. Avoid loud, noisy environments, including rock concerts, or at least wear earplugs there. Wear noise-eliminating headphones or earplugs on airplanes, where the background jet noise is a constant strain on our ears. 2. Do not clean your ears with anything smaller than your finger. Ears are self-cleaning devices. If you have heavy earwax buildup, see your physician to get the wax removed safely. The routine use of small objects like cotton swabs to clean out your ears generally just results in jamming the wax back into the ear, which can lead to fluid buildup in the ear. All right, so let's review for a minute. Tinnitus can come on at any stage of life. There are less common and more medically serious causes of tinnitus, including blood vessel problems, as well as many, many other possible causes of tinnitus in this delicate inner ear mechanism, including musculoskeletal strains in the head, neck, upper back, and shoulder tissues. So persistent tinnitus should always be examined by a physician. Osteopathy, as practiced by osteopathic physicians who are specialists in osteopathic manual medicine, can relieve the symptoms and make a real difference in helping optimize structure and function in the head, ears, neck, shoulders, and upper back, and therefore in resolving and preventing tinnitus with gentle, precise, hands-on work. Well, it looks like that's all we have time for today. Thank you so much for your attention to Your Health with Dr. Kim Tripp. Remember, you can email your comments and suggestions for topics to yourhealth@robinhoodradio.com. If you have a health issue yourself and would like to find out about how we might be able to help you in our practice of traditional osteopathy, we are at our offices in Sharon, Connecticut, Dr. Kim Tripp and Dr. Andrew Goldman, Goldman Tripp Osteopathic Healthcare, 860-364-5990. Monday to Friday, 8:45 a.m. to 5 p.m. with evening hours Wednesdays and Fridays, or on the web at www.goldmantripp.net. Meanwhile, I'll be looking forward to being with you next time, every other Friday at 12:30 and Sundays at 5:30. Take care of yourself, enjoy your health, and thank you for listening.